This special content-free World Cup edition of the Homemade Hit Show will feature special World Cup music. Every song will consist of 20,000 people constantly blowing a horn, ringing a bell, and beating a drum on the Homemade Hit Show. Well, welcome to the Homemade Hit Show with your unmotivated host, me. and your slightly motivated host, Dave. Yeah, right. Don't cheer everyone. You don't need to do that or I'll just leave. You'll be on your own.
I'm motivated to do stuff. I've sat down to record quite a few times recently and I don't know. Yeah. Well, just can't get it together.
My problem is trying to wedge things between World Cup games.
Ah, yes.
First song was Barricades Rise and Gave Up the World.
Yeah. There you go. Nice vocals. He kind of had a little Robin Zander in the vocals. Did you hear that at all?
Yeah. That was a on the more professional end of our sounds, I think. I think they're a proper band and all that. So.
That was nice. Robin Zander's the singer from Cheap Trick, in case anybody doesn't know.
Yeah. Yes. All right, so what's been going on this week? For a couple of weeks, of course. One thing I got excited for a minute. There was this music service I heard about called RDIO.com, and it was supposed to be the new La La, and I trawled Twitter making friends with everybody I didn't know just to get an invitation. And then when I got it, I found out it wasn't like La La. It's a decent service. It's a good website. It's got a nice presentation, but it's a paid service just like Rhapsody, which I already have. And at the moment, at least, there's nothing about it that would make me drop Rhapsody. So,
yeah, it's a nice interface, and something to be said about a nice interface. It's very easy to browse the new. I mean, what I like to do is get on there and browse the new releases and then just click on one to hear it.
Yeah.
And it is very easy at doing that. However, it was missing quite a few. You know, it's sort of hit or miss like Rhapsody is.
Right.
Every once in a while, it'll, you know, have something good, and then but then it'll be missing some glaring things like the new Teenage Fan Club album.
But the funny thing was, Rhapsody's biggest problem is it doesn't have many new releases, right? On a given week, it only has 5 to 10, whereas La La would have literally 500 a week, and this one has, you know, 100, 150. So you can find some obscure stuff, but there's little categorization, so you're just browsing through. If you don't know the band, you got to play it to know what it sounds like. Once in a while, it'll have sounds like kind of thing, but normally there's not a very good. It's a new service. They're not claiming it to be finished, but it's not proved very good for me to go and say I want to listen to some indie rock. Just find me some indie rock, you know, that kind of
right.
thing.
Right. You know, and you know what? Something interesting, as we were doing this, I actually kind of realized that Amazon's actually a pretty good way to check these things out. It's 30-second clips, but they have all the new releases organized by date, and even the future releases organized by date, so you can just kind of browse through and see what's coming up, and then you just go to the albums and you hit the play all button, and it'll play you 30 seconds of every song on the album. And
yeah, but all
I
you
did that and
all you're doing is substituting for La La, which let you listen to whatever you wanted and the whole thing. So,
yeah, right. Yeah, of course, La La was better, but we can't. We can't cry over spilled milk, Tony.
And I had a hope that Apple, who shut down La La, would be announcing something to replace it this week, but they didn't. So why the hell they felt the need to shut that down, I don't know. So
yeah, I know. That is very annoying.
Yeah. So the other things I've been doing is I bought and played Rock Band Green Day, which was entertaining. I haven't played Rock Band for a few months, and I found out how musically interesting Green Day can be at times. Lots of harmonies and all that kind of thing, which is especially even on their old stuff. So,
oh yeah, Billy J. Armstrong Joe Armstrong is a very talented man.
Yeah. So I think in the early days you tended to think of them as a bit, you know, punky and simple, but really, I mean, on that Dookie album, they have the whole album on there. There's some very interesting harmonies and musical changes and things like that, and then it progresses, of course, to the extremely complex American Idiot stuff with 9-minute songs with different parts and all that kind of things.
Right, but even that, what is that? Do you have the time to listen to me? Well, that was not their first album, right?
That was on Dookie. Yeah.
That was on Dookie, and that has a whole lot of chords to it. You know,
right.
I mean, it's not at all a simple little 3-chord thing. I mean, you know,
you could tell he
had some pop chops on that. And
yeah,
and then the drummer's really tight. That whole band's just really, really, really good.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like, I'm not quite sure of the dynamic, but I know that they have a fourth guy playing guitar on all their concert shows, even their TV appearances. When they mime, they have the fourth guy, and there are two guitar parts in some of the songs, and yet in the game, and you would never believe they have this fourth guy, you know. And my theory has always been that Billy Joe Armstrong couldn't play the guitar and sing at the same time, because I don't think I've ever seen him play the complicated parts in a live TV show or anything. I'm sure he did in the early days, but since it's got a bit more tricky, he seems to play the simple parts and let the other guy play the complicated parts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched a live video of him, because I remember watching a live video of him and going, holy crap, that guy can play.
Yeah.
You know, so but and thinking that same thing, thinking, you know, that between him and, I mean, the other person who does that just blows my mind is Les Claypool when he was with Primus. I mean, watching him sing and play that junk he does.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yeah, all of his solo stuff has just been utter pap. I cannot stand it. But his stuff with Primus, man, that guy can play crazy stuff and sing at the same time.
The funny thing about the Green Day Rock Band, of course, is the theoretical chord changes in that are easier to do than really changing the chords, and yet they're going so damn fast I can't keep up. So
right.
I can't even strum fast enough, you know that. And so, you know, to think that he's doing it with a real guitar and really playing it. And one thing, a lot of early punk bands, right, would play the same chord a lot. He's changing every like four notes, and it's I just, oh my god, my head's spinning. So I just stuck to singing.
Yeah, I remember that about. I think the Guitar Hero.
Right.
I have Guitar Hero for the Nintendo DS. It's kind of cool. It's like a little handheld thing that you clip into your DS and play it on there, and I seem to remember one of the Green Day songs was just like, you know, it's like, whoa.
But the good thing about these games, yeah, you wonder why we're talking about these games sometimes, but they're very inspirational to me. I hear things in them that I wouldn't have thought of. I get ideas from them. I learn how things like the bass are being used, the drums are being used, so it's very interesting. And this week they've announced Rock Band 3 for Christmas, which now has a keyboard in it and real guitars. So there you go. So they got they've designed a real guitar with strings with some kind of sensors in the fretboard that knows what chords you're playing and translates that to the game. So there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
pretty crazy.
And the keyboard in easy mode, they're like, it's a two octave keyboard, and there's like six keys for each of the four colors in easy mode. But in hard mode, you have to play the actual notes. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep. I have to say, I mean, you know, yeah, we do talk about these games a lot, and I like playing games actually, but music games is just a convergence of the two things that I love. And beautiful thing.
Songwriting-wise, I'm still very unmotivated, and Dave and I were briefly talking before the show, and we tried to cut it off so we could talk about it now. But I think Dave this week is having trouble with ideas, and I sent him some ideas. I just dreamed them up. They weren't like from some magic list or anything. But I think my problem is that I don't have a solid idea that I'm actually interested in enough. So I've sat down a few times. I start something. I get partway into it, and there's a bit of a song there, but I'm just like making myself do it. I don't have anything that I'm really trying to do. So
yeah, and I'm trying to, yeah, I'm having so little time to squeeze it in, but Tony said I need to sequester myself at the Wyoming Fine Arts Center again sometime soon, which I need to do. I've been trying to really isolate what it is I really want to write about and try to figure that out.
Right.
Because my best songs always come on times when I just, some subject that I'm interested in that comes easily comes to me. And, you know, I want to write stuff that's not sappy. I mean, the last song I was working on that I haven't really ever finished was about the areas around here that are kind of run down. And I live on the ugly side of town. That was one I'm working on. And I don't know, just listening back to the lyrics, I just think they're kind of hokey. And,
right.
I don't know, is it just me, or are they really hokey, or is it just getting into my head too much?
I always wonder in a case like that is that you don't live on the wrong side of town, and you deep down probably don't really know how it is.
It's true.
might be part of it. So.
And I have lived on some semi-uglier sides of town, but yeah, probably never quite that bad.
I think the problem for me is I purposely limit myself subject-wise because I don't want to do novelty songs of any type, and I don't like doing what you'd consider kind of trite songs. Like I could do a World Cup song, but I wouldn't enjoy it. You know, it's like,
right.
I'd be just doing it for the sake of it. So I'm not quite sure that I've got anything that I want to write about. I've certainly got nothing I want to say, and often I can come up with subjects to write things about, but nothing's just striking me at the moment. And Zoetrope keeps sending me instrumentals, so that's his state. So
yeah, that's I was listening to on the way in here, I was listening to some Super Furry Animals, and the song Golden Retriever came in. And yeah, I think that's really the avenue I want to go to, is just writing stuff that's very allegorical. Is that right?
I have no idea what that means, so I can't help you.
Yeah, that's very symbolic already. You know, like the Golden Retriever, you know, just writing a song about a Golden Retriever, but it's really got some other meanings, but you can't quite figure out what it is. But,
right.
You know, it's that's just a really fun song, you know, that has lots of golden retriever, you know, dog analogies and dog, you know, lyrics in it, but they apply to a, you know, to a girl in his life, I'm assuming, you know, but it's just, that's kind of the, I think that's really where I want to be. That's the kind of lyric I want to write.
And we've talked about that before, right? How, firstly, how hard that appears to be and how difficult it appears to be to become satisfied with your lyrics that way. You know, that you, you know, say you're doing that example, you're writing about a golden retriever, but it's really about a girl. Well, you know that, and you feel like everybody can see every point you're making, and it's like slapping them in the face. But then when you read the lyrics to a song like that, Super Furry Animals, they probably look ridiculous. You know, right. But they work in the song, so.
Right. I did write, I haven't heard any, the band had talked about doing the group writing thing.
Right.
And so I sent my little Buzzcocks draft off to Jude, and he apparently is working on it, but I don't know.
Right.
We'll check back in about 4 months.
Because I think the real concept of band writing is sitting in a room and doing it together right now.
We're sitting around the pool.
Yeah, no, sitting in the cavern, mate.
Right. Whatever, so.
All right, and then I watched that It Might Get Loud video that we've talked about a lot, and I was slightly distracted while watching it, but I didn't find it particularly engaging, but it was interesting enough. But there was one, Jack White confuses me because I like virtually nothing that he's done. I probably like about 4 of his songs ever, but I kind of like him, and I like his approach to things, and I like the way he toured Canada playing social clubs with 7 people in the audience, one-note concerts, that kind of stuff. But he had an interesting tip for a songwriting. He said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but every day your emotions are affected. Something made you happy, something's made you sad, something's made you angry. Write about them every day. Think about how you felt and write something about it.
Right.
So,
you know, and I think that's a good thing to do, and I think the daily writing, but eventually you've got to get to where you're actually turning into something you're liking.
Right, but I think his point wasn't to, you know, write I'm mad because someone cut me off in traffic. It's that made you feel mad, and how did you feel, and put that into a song idea, you know. And it's I haven't really done it yet, but it's probably quite difficult because, you know, we get mad for the stupidest reasons and we get happy at the stupidest things. So how do you encapsulate that feeling in some flowery words that can be used in a song without sounding sappy and terrible?
Right.
Yeah. So.
I like the all the historical footage of U2 and just thinking of U2 playing in a schoolroom someplace.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
That's one thing. Just thinking on the spot here that I hadn't thought about is bands that form now and last. Right. There's probably going to be tons of videos and stuff of them in the early days, and U2 there was some, and Led Zeppelin was less. You know, it's like because so it's going to be almost over. Overkill these days, so
I wonder who the big the bands that will last forever are out of the current crop.
But the thing that I was listening to Rock and Roll Geek Show interview with the guy from The Knack. Did you listen to that one yet? So there's a DVD out apparently called Get the Knack, which is a historical story of the Knack with lots of videos and interviews over time and stuff like that. So that he said that was really interesting too, even though he might not have considered himself a Knack fan. And the thing I found most surprising about the Knack is the guitar solos are unbelievable. These are like shredding guitar solos. Right in the middle of My Sharona is an absolutely shredding guitar solo.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I remember growing up thinking, wow, that guy's freaking good.
Yeah. So he's the guy who they did that classic albums revisited with the guitarist. So.
Right.
So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, they had a lot of video of Pink Floyd. I was watching Which One's Pink the other day.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That was a very inspirational movie, too. You know, you're just like, wow, those guys really... Yeah, they were doing some very inspirational stuff back then. Just being extremely creative and
It's funny though because they, you know, they did all that psychedelic stuff and stuff with movies and all that. But the song, even their very early songs, are the most silly poppy songs you could come up with. So
right,
you know, Arnold Lane and all that stuff. So
right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, we are fundamentally content free on this show, so we're playing extra songs. So we've,
yes,
we have first The Cracks. And when I got a song from The Cracks, I was ready for a Cracks song, and I turned it on and I said, what the hell is this? This is musically produced and full and wonderful. So I had to then I thought I better read the email. And he said, it's my first song done on Mixcraft. It started out with a drum loop and my three-string drop D-tuned electric guitar. He added a loop, a cymbal, and a shaker, and which came with it, Mixcraft 5. He added MIDI rock organ, played on a Yamaha. And he wrote some lyrics and recorded vocals. And then Steve Nylander, Sun God V, added some bass guitar and did a total remix, which took it up some notches. So it's different, yeah, for sure.
I have to say, yeah, I put my comments were fantastic, !! Rock and roll, !!
Yep, yep. So this was definitely something different, and I'm somewhat conflicted. I like the raw Cracks, but this was nice to hear too, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, where does this leave us room to cover a Cracks song in this one?
Well, it does. It's, you know, I've never been a Bob Dylan fan, but I somehow feel this is like when Bob Dylan went electric. You know, it's like this isn't supposed to happen. It's supposed to be raw and rough and ready. So
that's right. No, it's still got some raw in this too. I think his vocals still had some rawness to it. Yeah, great. This one's just fantastic. What say we play it?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, The Cracks, Here Today with Steve Sun God Nylander.
Homemade Hit Show at www.homemadehitshow.com. All the hits made in your bedroom.
Hallelujah, it's a homemade hit.
Well, it's a rainy morning here in California, and I woke up this morning and decided to play some music. I started with a couple of guitar chords, and after about, you know, once through playing them, the ideas started coming, so I just sat down with pencil and paper and wrote the words. It came out very, very fast. The whole thing was done in about 10 minutes. And I decided after last week's homemade hit show discussions to go minimal on this. So I set up a room mic and sat down with the guitar and just played and sang it straight through, not having rehearsed it at all. And so, as usual, the words came out slightly different than what they are on paper. And the guitar was a little bit hideous, as well as my computer did a lot of glitching, hiccuping, farting due to the 5 antivirus softwares that are going on in the background at the time. And I just left that and came back to it a couple minutes later and put background vocals on the tune and shorted up a little bit with my cheesy toy squeeze box that I got at the toy store and kind of left it on its own just to sit there. So I hope you get some enjoyment out of it. The minimal Constantini. So here you go.
I've made a little mistake by thinking I'm great. I never cared about the consequences. Now I'm alone in my head, still drinking in bed and wishing I was really never me. No, 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 I'm not here. So don't call me. No, 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 I'm not here. I won't answer the door. No, 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 I'm not here. I'm not here anymore. I was thinking out loud in front of a crowd, and the people were all laughing with me. But maybe I got it wrong while writing this song, and they were all really laughing at me. No, 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 I'm not here. So don't call me. No, 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 I'm not here. I won't answer the door. No, 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 I'm not here. I'm not here anymore. Next time I come around, they'll bring out the clowns, and I'll stand there at the head of the line. And I will sing and I'll cheer while drinking my beer. So go ahead and strike up the band. No, 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 I'm not here. So don't call me. No, 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 I'm not here. I won't answer the door. No, no, I'm not here. I'm not here anymore. No, 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 I'm not here. So don't call me. No, 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 I'm not here. I won't answer the door. No, no, I'm not here. I'm not here anymore.
All right, so that was Frank Canonica, I'm Not Myself, and he put an intro on there for us, of course. And before that was some guy who pretended to be the Crex.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, I like that. Frank's song was awesome. I like the little 12-stringy sound, and yeah, that was a pretty little tune.
Funnily enough, I hadn't really thought of this before, but Frank normally makes complicated music, and Crex normally makes simple stuff, and they flipped.
So, right. You couldn't have planned that better.
No, and I didn't. Don't worry. So I believe we have no content for this part of the show, because no one sent us any, and we haven't thought of any. So
let's have a moment of silence.
Yeah. I can't do it! That was long enough. All right, so quick run through what we've been listening to. I've been very mixed, but I've been listening to Green Day after being inspired, and funnily enough, found that the listening to them with headphones at work was nowhere near as good sounding as playing them on Rock Band. I listened to a band I've always liked, not a big real poppy band, called Rooney. They're very poppy. They've had three or four really good albums, but this one kind of bored me. It was like nothing has changed. In fact, it's probably got more poppy and more trite and pathetic lyrics than ever. So, and then I went through a little Doves and Elbow section. I watched a Jules Holland show from the UK, 2 hours of every Britpop band there was ever out there doing one song, and they were on there, so they inspired me to listen to them. And then finally the Teenage Fan Club, new one that Dave told me about was out. So everything other than Green Day, kind of Britpopish and slightly off-center, but fairly straight down the middle.
Yeah, the I don't know, Teenage Fan Club, I love that band, I always will, but then they were definitely a lot more rough on their first couple albums, and then they've really sanitized their sound a little bit as of the last like 3 or 4 albums. So I mean, they used to be rock and roll. I mean, I don't know, have you heard some of their first albums?
Yeah, but I was you know, it's funny, I unrelated to you saying that, I was thinking that about Green Day earlier in the week, that a band can't win, right? If they age 20 years or 30 years and try to sound the same, people criticize them for that, and if they change and mature, people criticize them for that. So
right, yeah, I mean, they were very just feedback and, yeah, you know, just heavy stuff at the beginning, and now they're almost, you know, they sound almost exactly, yeah, like the Birds.
Yeah, that's exactly the band I thought of. So
yeah,
the it's funny because I can't remember if it was on the show, but the Buzzcocks played in a little club near me a couple of weeks ago, and tonight is the Stiff Little Fingers. I'm not even sure many people will have heard of them, but they were a big punk band when I was a kid, and both of them are doing the other side. They're trying to be exactly like they were 30 years ago, and I just find they just seem ridiculous to me. So, you know, that their new songs are about subjects they would have written about when they were 16. So.
Yep, interesting. Yeah. Well, so, speaking of a band that I think is progressing in reverse, meaning
yes,
in reverse of what we're talking about before, I think Not a Surf is one that I've just listened to, and they've got a new one out, and I've always really liked them, but their first album was kind of probably my least favorite.
Right.
It was a little juvenile, a little, you know, the songwriting wasn't quite there. And this last one, although it's a covers album, they really made it their own. And then they sort of do that. They sort of are doing almost exactly the reverse of a Teenage Fan Club. They're staying at least as rough, if not rougher, than they were.
Right.
You know, on their latest album. They did a bunch of covers of songs like Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode and Love and Anger by Kate Bush and other songs that I didn't know who, I don't know, I may have to go back and look who some of these people are, because this Electrocution song by Bill Fox, I've never heard of this guy before.
It's funny because Dave and I have a pretty broad musical knowledge of some degree, and neither of us could recognize at least half the bands that these songs came from, not even by name. You know, it's not like I even knew who they were but never heard them, so.
Right, yeah, but half the songs were popular ones that were just like obvious, and then or maybe a third of those were that way, and then the rest of them, I need to find who this Bill Fox guy is, but no, it's a real nice new album, and it sounds, you know, I thought it was half originals, half covers, is what I thought at first, but it's the new Not a Surf, really good. It's like I get a hi-fi or something like that, or.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but see, I'm surprised you think of them as rough. I mean, their last couple of albums have been very, very poppy in harmonies and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, they still throw in some nice over distorted guitars though and things.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of nice. Now, the other bands I've listened to after going through Amazon's new release list, and I got the Hot Heat. They're good. They're kind of a fun, they're, you know, like a super hyperactive, you know, sort of a creative rock band. And I really like their last one's really, really pretty good. Worth a listen for sure.
Yeah, I listened to them during my RDIO searching. So you reminded me of Hot Chip. I've been listening to Hot Chip too. So I didn't know they were English. So.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know. Sometimes I like their singles, but I got one of their albums and kind of got bored after a while.
They were on the most recent Jules Holland show and they were terrible live. So.
Yeah, they're all like like turntables and laptops and stuff.
Well, the singing was poor. That was the biggest problem. They just not good singing. So.
Well, the other one I got was Blitz and Trapper.
Right.
And this is a band that I really like the sound of. It's kind of like Rooney a little bit in a way, right. You know. I really like the sound of the band, and they do these like 70s rock guitar solos and, you know, lots of whoo hoo hoo, you know, that kind of just really cool little licks and things like that. But it's like the guy changes chords too much or something.
Yeah.
He's like,
feels like me. Feels like me where I sit and go, well, I've used 3 chords in this song. I better use some more.
Yeah. That sure seems like what he's doing. It's just, I don't know. The Blitz and Trapper, I like the sound of them, but they just don't stick to the ribs for some reason with me.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but a band I like has just released a new album that's on NPR, Gaslight Anthem. So they have that NPR streaming there, the kind of modern-day Bruce Springsteen-style band.
Yeah, I listened to that on Amazon, just the highlights of an album. It sounded pretty good. I don't know.
That song, 59 Sound, from their last album is probably my favorite song of last year, or that I heard last year, whether it was out or not. And then I don't like this. Well, it's not to say I don't like them. I haven't heard it, and I'm not particularly interested. But I saw that Rush has a new album out that's getting pretty good reviews. So that was. I think Dave Chick may have mentioned that somewhere along the way, on maybe on the forum or something. But then I saw it on one of those lists. So.
Interesting. I did. Yeah, they just put out an album, and a few years ago. That's and that was funny because I'll have to check that out because I like Rush. Yeah. But
they have a DVD out
too. With the Teenage Fan Club, I was just thinking, oh, they got a new album out so quickly, and they said, oh, it's been 5 years since the last time. I was like, really? Oh my god!
Yeah. So Rush has a DVD out as well, a Story of Rush DVD that just came out as well. I saw that somewhere. So
nice. It seemed like they had a making of like the second disc of one of their live albums was like a tour. I love those kind of movies. I do like Rush an awful lot. I listen to Rush a lot.
I've got nothing against Rush. And I listened to them a lot at a certain time of my life, but I haven't heard them for a long time. So,
yeah, I still like going back and listening to all those 2112 and all that.
Right.
One other album that's been sticking with me is the LCD
Sound System.
Sound System. Yeah, that one still. I keep going back to that one.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. So check out Hot Hot Heat, Not a Surf, and LCD Sound System will be my 3 picks of the week.
Yeah, I have still listening to The National Me, but trying to throw some other stuff in there. I find I watch a show like that, Jules Holland show, that in 2 hours probably had, 40 British Britpop bands, and I basically wanted to listen to every one of them again, and I just haven't got the time, you know. And it's not even the time to listen to them, it's the time to go find the place to listen to each one of them. You know, if I could magically have a list of all 40, I'd probably have a better chance. But so
right, yeah, that it is easy, you know. And that's one thing I do too a lot of times. I load stuff. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about how, you know, with these Rhapsody services and La La and things, you know, the songs that you listen to are so almost disposable because you listen to them for a while and you're like, oh man, this National album, I love it.
Yeah,
you know, and then 6 months from now you may never even listen to it again because you've kind of forgotten about it and it's, you know, dropped off your radar and you've deleted it from your, you know, from your player.
That's it, because I sync most of what I listen to with Last.fm. It's kind of interesting that I go look at what I was listening to 3 months ago and I'm like, holy crap, I loved that album. I thought I would be listening to it for the rest of my life and now I've forgotten it even existed. So,
right. So, I go out and buy those albums generally, you know, if I really liked them. That's kind of the way
that's not going to make any.
That.
It's not going to make any difference to me, though. If I bought it and put it on my music player, it's still going to be in there with 10 million other things. So,
true. That's true.
And you got Marina and the Diamonds as well to worry about. So.
Yep.
All right.
I like that.
Go on. You like that. Right.
I think we mentioned about 75 bands.
Yeah, that's why I checked. I checked the ones you wanted to be on your official list while you were talking. So.
Okay. Yep.
So that's it for now then. HomemadeHitShow.com. HomemadeHitShow@gmail.com. You may never hear from me again, but I find that when I take weeks off, I just lose the habit, so I need to probably not take any weeks off.
Never quit again. Yeah. I want to do a minute song. I really want to try to do a minute song again, just
right,
just to get something done.
It's too late now, and may not have worked because Ornath O'Dowd asked on the forum why we didn't have a World Cup challenge, and part of the answer is because we were probably 80% American, and yep. the other answer is we didn't think of it. So, but that might have been a little bit of fun, but oh well. We could have assigned countries to people. You have to do the Ivory Coast World Cup song. So, this last song then is from Matt Wilson, Wide Ernie, I can never get that right, Wide Ernie or something, on the forum, Deaders Are Us. This is one of those songs that, you know, you could probably pick 100 faults in it, but for some reason it just struck a chord with me, it just worked. It's got that perfect combination of rough and ready home recorded and liveliness and spiritedness that's, you know, often we get very professional songs, we get very carefully written and recorded songs, but this one hit that right spot for me, right in the middle of rough, dirty, and lively and interesting.
Yep, excellent stuff.
So we'll say goodbye, and we'll leave you with Matt Wilson and Deaders Are Us.
All right, bye-bye.
Financially bust. The debt is all.